Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm very, very pleased to be with you in this webinar, seminar, talking about fire. So I'd like each of you, for the moment, to just take a look inside and see, where do you look for love? Do you look for love outside yourself, or do you look for love inside yourself? Just take a moment to look inside and see, where do you look for love? And for those of you that are on the phone, you can mute yourself by pressing star 6 and unmute when we have questions and answers by pressing star 7. So, most people look for love outside of themselves. Most of us grow up believing that love is something that we have to get through somebody else rather than directly from our higher guidance. Now, the problem with looking for love outside of yourself, looking for love from somebody else, is that once you are not bringing love into yourself, that creates a kind of emptiness inside. And then you're looking for somebody else to fill up that emptiness. And when you're in that position of not being full of love and looking for somebody else who's going to fill you up and make you happy and make sure you have fun and that you feel safe and secure and that you feel worthy, you're going to draw in somebody who's also looking for that, looking for you to do that for them. And that's what's called a codependent relationship. When we're dependent on somebody else to love us so that we feel lovable and we feel safe and we feel secure, we feel attractive, that's called codependency. Once again, for those of you that are on the phone, press star 6, please, to mute yourself because we can hear some background noise. And then we can press star 7 when we're ready for questions and answers. So those on the phone, please press star 6 to mute yourselves. So love is not an experience or a feeling. We're hearing a lot of background noise here. Would you please press star 6 if you're on the phone so that we don't have any background noise? Love is not an experience that we generate on our own. Love is spirit. Love is God. Whatever you want to call that energy that sustains us in the universe, that is love. And we as bodies, as physical beings, we don't generate love within ourselves. And so the way that we actually access love directly is when we open our hearts and we invite love in. And this is actually a very, very powerful experience when people learn how to do it, how to open their hearts. Now, the inner bonding process, which is what I teach, is a process for helping you to open your heart. And one of the main ways of opening your heart is to move into a deep intention to learn about loving yourself. But in order to want to do that, in order to want to access love directly and move into that intention to learn about loving yourself, once again, I'm going to interrupt those of you that are on the phone. Please press star 6 to mute, and then you can press star 7 when we have questions and answers. There's many people on the phone. Please press star 6 in order to mute. So in order to actually open to learning with spirit, you have to reach a place where you recognize that there's a huge difference between trying to get love from somebody else and being filled with love and wanting to share love. Think about your relationships with other people. When you're looking for love from other people, what are you really looking for? Are you looking for approval? Are you looking for attention? Is that how you know you're getting love? You're getting admiration. You're getting approval. People are paying attention to you. Many people have a huge confusion between...
Anytime, Josh, you can use this now.
Excuse me. Would you please press star 6 so that we can't hear you, mute yourself with star 6, and then you can press star 7 when there's questions and answers. So most of the time, people really confuse love and approval. They think that getting attention, getting approval is the same thing as getting love, but it doesn't feel the same at all. And those of you that have had relationships where you have had what you feel is love and it feels great for the moment, what happens the moment that person isn't giving you attention, isn't giving you approval? Then suddenly what you're calling love is gone. Well, that's not what we call love and inner bonding. What we call love and inner bonding is when our hearts are open and we are accessing our higher spiritual guidance in our hearts, we feel filled up inside. That full feeling is there because there's love inside. And then we have that to share with others. Love is not something that is demanding of others. Love is not something that we actually get from others. Love is an experience that we share with others. And we can only share it with others when we are bringing that love into ourselves. I'd like you all to look inside for a moment right now. Just notice your feelings right now. And are you feeling filled up inside? Or are you feeling empty inside? Do you have a feeling inside of wonderful inner peace and fullness? Or is there some sense of aloneness and emptiness inside? Now, if you feel any aloneness and emptiness, it's because you're not filled with love. Your heart is not open. You're not bringing love inside of you. And emptiness and aloneness is always an indication that your heart is closed and that there's some self-abandonment going on. You're not bringing love into yourself. A lot of people believe that the love they get from somebody else is far better than what they can get directly from their spiritual guidance. And I got to tell you, having done that for many years in my own life, where I tried to get love and tried to get love, and every once in a while, you know, would have that experience of love until I finally learned inner bonding and learned how to bring that love into myself, I got to tell you that nothing compares to the experience of filling yourself with love. Any love that you get from somebody else doesn't even hold a candle to the experience of joy and peace and fullness and personal power that comes when you learn how to fill yourself up with love and then share that love with others. This isn't about just being full of love. The highest experience of life is the sharing of love. But we cannot share love unless we're full of love. So I want to remind those of you on the phone, please press star 6 to mute yourselves, and then you can press star 7 when it's time to talk. Please press star 6. We have many, many people both on the computer and on the line, and we don't want the background noise to be getting in the way here. So what are your beliefs about why you try and get love from others? Some of the false beliefs that I've experienced with people a lot is, well, I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to love myself. So I have to try and have control over getting others to love us. Now, the fact is none of us grow up knowing how to love ourselves. I can't speak to you all at once, but if I could, I would ask for a raise of hands as to how many of you had parents who role modeled how to love themselves. Even if they loved you, they may not have role modeled loving themselves. They may not have known how to do that because most of our parents did not know how to do that. And so when we didn't have any role model of how to love ourselves, we grew up not knowing what that means. So how do we learn to do that? Well, this is really part of what inner bonding is about, is learning how to access our higher guidance. We all have a source of spiritual guidance with us that is very wise, very powerful, very loving, and it is actually not that hard to access that intelligence, that information, that wisdom. It's a matter of learning how to raise your frequency high enough so that your frequency matches the frequency of your spiritual guidance. That happens when you move into an intention to learn, when you move into your imagination, which raises the frequency, and you're able to begin to access the information that's there. So that in the inner bonding process, when you are able to say, what is loving to me right now? What is in my highest good right now? You find that you start to receive information. Actually, parents of new babies very often do this automatically. They want to love their babies. They've never had a baby before. They don't know what they're doing, but they really want to love the baby. And so when the baby's crying, they may say to themselves, what does this baby need? How can I love this baby? How can I be loving? And ideas pop into their mind. They don't realize that those ideas are coming from their higher guidance. And it's the same thing with us. We have a baby inside. This is our feeling. This is our inner child. This is our feeling self. This part of us is the soul within us that communicates with us through our feelings. And it is our responsibility to learn how to love that child, which means taking responsibility for our own feelings. So when you have the belief, I can't do it, that's not accurate. Everybody who has a degree of sanity can learn to be loving to themselves. You can learn the inner bonding process. You can learn to access your higher guidance. You can learn to access that information about what it looks like to be loving to yourself. Now, some people say, well, loving myself is selfish. Now, think about the word selfish. What does that really, really mean? In my view, if we're not being loving to ourselves, then we're trying to get other people to do it for us. And we expect other people to give themselves up for us so that we feel okay. Now, in my book, that's what selfish is, when we expect other people to do for us what we should be doing for ourselves. And so loving oneself is anything but selfish. It's self-responsible. When you learn to love yourself, when you learn to bring love into yourself and really value who you are and take loving care of yourself, you have a great desire to share that love with others. And it would never be loving to you to be selfish, to be self-centered, that because it doesn't make you feel good. And so it's only when we're not loving to ourselves that we end up being selfish. Now, sometimes people say, well, I can't be loving to myself because I don't deserve it. The wounded part of us, and this is the part of us that came into being when we didn't get the love we needed and we needed to try and get love and avoid pain and feel safe. So the wounded part of us believes that we're flawed, that we're not good enough, and that we don't deserve love. And this part of us is always going to believe that. But this part of us is a fabrication. This is not who we genuinely are. And so when we say to ourselves, I don't deserve it, we have to realize that who we're talking about, the part of us that doesn't deserve it, is talking about itself. The wounded self is talking about itself. Whereas our core self, our true self, is a spark of the divine, is perfect, is a beautiful, magnificent being, and of course deserves love, like any baby. You think of any baby. Is there any baby on the planet that does not deserve love? And of course you would say, no, every baby deserves love. Well, we have that inside of us. We have that being inside of us that of course deserves love. And so if you hear yourself saying, I don't deserve it, you might want to realize that that's sort of a cop-out. It's a way to avoid responsibility for your own feelings and try and get somebody else to do it for you. But if you really believe you didn't deserve it, then why would you think that you would deserve for somebody else to do it for you? Now, there's a fact that many people don't want to accept on the planet, and that is that if you didn't get the love you needed as you were growing up, you're the only one who can give it to yourself, because there is not a single person on this planet that came onto the planet with the idea of saying, I'm going to devote my love to giving you love. I'm going to devote my life to giving you love. Nobody comes onto the planet with that project. They may want to give love to their children, but they don't want to give love to their partner. They don't want to be in charge of giving love to their partner. Certainly they want to share love, but they don't want to be the one to do it for you. Nobody on the planet wants to be the one to do it for you, to take care of you, to make you feel safe and secure. So if it didn't happen when you were a child, it's too late for somebody else to do that. Now it's your responsibility. So what does it mean to really give yourself love? What does it mean to really be devoted to loving yourself? Before we go into that, just take a moment to think about if somebody in your life does give you love and approval, or what you call, you know, love, which I call approval or attention, what does that actually do for you in the long run? It may feel good, like any addiction feels good in the short run, but what does it actually do for you? If they're doing it for you rather than with you, if they're doing it instead of you doing it, does that actually give you the sense of self-esteem and sense of worth and safety that we all need? I think if you look inside, you will discover that it's sort of a never-ending need. There's a neediness that if somebody, that you're getting your love from somebody else, that creates a neediness and a dependency, and that you become emotionally dependent on that other person to be loving you. And if they're not giving you what you need, then you feel unsafe and insecure. And I think that's a very, very hard way to live. And inner bonding is about attaining emotional freedom, about moving beyond emotional dependency so that we're not needy of somebody else bringing us the love. We're bringing it. We want to share it with others, certainly. But if somebody is not available, we're still filled with love because we're the ones bringing it. So how do we do this? Well, the first thing, as I said, is that you move into an intention to learn about loving yourself. And when you move into an intention to learn, what happens is it moves you out of your left brain mind and into your right brain, which is where you can connect to spirit from. You can't connect from your left brain. You can only connect from your right brain. When you move into a deep desire to learn, it accesses your right brain. And then you need to be focusing in your heart. You can't, again, be focusing in your left brain mind. There's no way to access love from your left brain mind. So you need to be in your body, present in your body, in your heart, not in your head. And you need to actually invite love and compassion into your heart simply by saying, I invite you into my heart. It's that simple. You open and you say, I invite love and compassion into my heart. And you will see that your heart starts to feel fuller. And then you ask, what is loving to myself? What is loving to my inner child? And if you're genuinely wanting to know, information will come to you. And once that information comes to you, whether it's in words or pictures or feelings, then you want to take action in your own behalf. It's not enough to get the information. You have to take loving action in your own behalf in order to feel filled with love. When you take action in your own behalf, that's when that child in you starts to feel loved and important. Now, there's one other aspect that I want to talk about as far as loving oneself. Loving oneself is about taking responsibility for our own feelings. And that means staying tuned into our body, staying tuned into what's going on inside. And there's two kinds of feelings we want to stay tuned into. And one is what we call wounded self feelings, which is the anxiety and the fear and the guilt and shame and the depression. These are the feelings that we cause by our own erroneous thinking, our own unloving behavior. And so when we feel these wounded feelings, We want to tune in. We want to do an inner bonding process to see what we're thinking and how we're behaving that's causing us to feel bad. Then there's another kind of feeling. We call that the core self feeling. And these are the feelings of life. And the painful core self feelings are the grief from loss, the heartache and heartbreak when people are unloving, when people are mean, the loneliness when there's nobody to connect to, the sadness and sorrow when we see people hurting each other. These are the core self feelings, the helplessness over other people. Now these feelings, in order for us to feel loved inside, we have to be willing to embrace these core feelings with deep compassion. And so loving ourselves means being in touch with our feelings, nurturing the core self feelings, and exploring the wounded self feelings to see what we're thinking or doing that's causing our own feelings. And what we suggest with people who are learning to practice inner bonding is that you want to be staying present in your body all day long. That's how you're going to start to feel love, is to stay present in your body, staying tuned into your feelings. And one of the major ways of keeping your heart open to love is to choose to be in gratitude throughout the day, which means to be thankful for the little things and the big things that are happening. The more you choose gratitude, the more you keep your heart open, and the more your heart will stay filled up with love. And when you're able to do that, you will find yourself being able to share love with those around you, no matter how difficult and strained a relationship has been. You can have a huge, huge influence on that relationship by doing your own inner bonding work, filling yourself with love, and learning what it really means to share love with another person. So before we go on to the questions, which I'm going to do very shortly, I just want to talk for one moment about how powerful it is to be a part of the Inner Bonding website. This is a community. This is a community of people who care about each other, who support each other, who help each other through difficult times. They're really, really there for you. You don't have to be alone with this process. And as a member of the community, you can ask me questions and Dr. Erica questions. We answer usually within the same day. We have chats, and we have other facilitators that have chats. And you can ask your questions. You can receive your help. We have many facilitators that can help. And for those people who don't have money for facilitation, once you're a member of the website, we have some free facilitation that's available with facilitators in training. There's many, many articles that are only available to members. There's videos. We have a whole section on taking you through the inner bonding process with videos and with audio visualizations to help you learn and really, really get grounded in the inner bonding process. So it's only $14.95 a month. And for those of you that are really interested in learning how to love yourself and learning how to gain emotional freedom, we really suggest that you become a member of the website. So there's two ways that I'm going to be dealing with questions. Some of you have written in questions, and then there's many of you online. And one of the things that I like to do in the webinar is actually do some work with those of you that are online, because then you can see what it's like to do a little bit of the inner bonding process. So I'm going to take one of the questions first that somebody wrote in, and then I'm going to take a question online. So this question is finding love the same thing as sharing love? This is kind of what we were just talking about. How can one tell when they're ready to be in a relationship, and what can you do to ensure that it is a healthy relationship? So, finding love is not the same thing as sharing love. In my definition of finding love, it means what we've been talking about. It means being able to access love from spirit. Sharing love is what you do with another person when you are already filled with love. When you learn to do that, it becomes very easy to discern when another person is also filled with love. When you're not loving yourself, you don't get when somebody else is also not loving themselves. Somebody can be very charming and can appear to be a loving person, and if you're not loving yourself, you're not going to discern the emptiness that's in that person. But if you're loving yourself, you become very, very discerning of whether or not that other person is actually full inside or whether that person is empty inside. So what you can do to ensure that you have a healthy relationship is practice inner bonding, learn to be loving to yourself so that you can truly discern where another person is. The fact is, the law of attraction states that like attracts like, and this is very, very true in relationships, that if you're abandoning yourself, you're going to attract somebody that's abandoning themselves. We come together at our common level of woundedness or our common level of health. So if you're abandoning yourself, then you can be absolutely certain that the person you attract is going to be abandoning themselves at the same level that you're abandoning yourself. But if you're really loving yourself and really taking responsibility for your own feelings, you're going to attract somebody who is also doing that. So maybe you can begin to see how vitally important it is, if you want a good relationship, to be practicing inner bonding and learning how to love yourself. Okay, now I would like to take a question from one of you that that's on the phone, and you have to press star 7 if you would like to ask me a question and you would like to have a little bit of help with something. Please press star 7 and go ahead and ask the question. Is there somebody online that would like to ask a question? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
What is your name?
Can you hear me? My name is
Carrie. Yes, I can hear you. What's your name?
Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. What's your question?
My question is, I have post-traumatic stress, and it's based on a medical issue that I've had counseling for, and I manage it. But with this virus going around, it's just, you know, the fear of that. I'm trying to love myself and rise above all this anxiety and fear about whether or not my son will get it. And I have already had it and survived it, actually. But when you have post-traumatic stress, you're always struggling with trying to love yourself enough not to do that and to get into the fear mode. And so I went through it today. I don't know what to do, what self-talk I can say.
You don't know how to begin to love yourself in the face of the PTSD that's touching off the fear.
Yes.
Of your son getting sick, is that right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, I want to ask you: have you ever had any work with EFT, the Emotional Freedom Technique? Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay, so I want you to look into that. You go to a website called EmoFree, 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 and it will teach you. It's an acupressure technique that releases post-traumatic stress out of the body. It releases the old fear and old anxiety out of the body. It's a very, very powerful technique. On the EmoFree website, you can find a practitioner in your area, or you can learn it on your own. But I want to suggest you don't have to live your whole life with the PTSD. So a loving action for yourself is to heal the PTSD with the EFT, the Emotional Freedom Technique. So that's the first thing that I would recommend to you. And that's going to be extremely helpful to you to learn this. And it's not hard to learn it.
Oh, good.
Okay. Secondly, you need to start to be vigilant about your thinking. Because it's your thinking, aside from the PTSD, it's your thinking that's creating the fear.
Yeah.
And I know what that's like when you have kids, because, boy, I sure went through it with my three kids before I knew inner bonding. And I would just get so scared about
things that could happen
to them. It's just so terrifying.
He inadvertently used my toothbrush today.
Yeah.
that's what set me off.
Right. Yeah. I totally understand. And
yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, our children are so precious to us. And it's so easy. In fact, my daughter, she has my two grandsons, and after she had my first grandson, she says, "Mom, how do you survive being a parent when you're always so worried about this child?" You know, and
yeah.
You know, and so I'm going to say to you the same thing I said to her: you have to be very vigilant, honey, about what you think.
Yeah.
You cannot let the thoughts from your wounded self take over, because you'll just wind down into terror.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and so I see it like seeing two television sets, and one is the fear channel and one is the love channel.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So when your mind is going on and on and on about fear, you want to go over to the love channel. You want to turn off the fear channel, turn on the love channel, and start to think any kind of thought that's going to make you feel better.
All right. And I
and,
have to give myself permission to do that.
Yes. And but if you start to learn and practice the inner bonding process, it's a lot easier to think the loving thoughts, because as you develop your spiritual connection and open to guidance, actually those loving thoughts will come through you. They don't have to come from your mind. They will come through you. They have a lot more power. They have the power of truth when they come through you.
Okay.
And so
wow.
If you practice the process, you'll be able to tune into what is the truth. Is the truth that my son is safe or not? And you can really access that. Or if there's something that you need to be doing for his safety, you will be able to access.
Often there's nothing for me to do. You know,
right. But even just in your thinking, that's
something
for
you to do. And you're powerless, and that's when it's okay to, like, the love channel.
Somebody needs to press *6. We're getting some background noise here. So, honey, is that helpful to you?
Yes, it's very helpful. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Okay,
okay,
is there somebody else online before I take another of the written questions? Is there somebody else online?
This is Jill.
Yes, Jill. Yes, go ahead, honey.
Yeah, I was just, you were talking about higher vibrational energy.
Right.
What happens if you have a sickness like an infection or something in your body, like a chronic thing, and
right.
end up getting like maybe some fear and anxiety with some of those symptoms, and it's causing you to be in a lower vibrational energy, like, still have that power to pull yourself out of that?
Well, that certainly is a challenge, because illness does lower the frequency of the body. And it becomes harder to raise the frequency. It's one of those times when you need to have other people's help. For example, when people come onto the website, it raises their frequency automatically, because the frequency of the website is very high, and that helps them. But certainly there are things that you can do regarding the kind of food you put in your body, making sure that, you know, that there's no pesticides, no colorings, no, you know, nothing that stresses the body out, because one of the things that does lower the frequency of the body is any food that is packaged, is processed, is sprayed, you know, has colorings, flavorings, sugar, all that stuff lowers the frequency of the body. And so even if you have an infection, the more you treat your body like a true temple of the soul, the more you'll be able to raise your frequency. Now, on top of that, so much illness. You see, stress is one of the things that causes probably 90% of illness. That's what the research indicates. Because when you're stressed, what happens? Somebody needs to press *6, please, to mute yourself. What happens when you're stressed is that All the blood leaves the organs, it leaves the immune system, it leaves the brain, it goes into the hands, the arms and legs for fight or flight. Well, the more you stress, the more the immune system gets eroded, which leads to illness. And so practicing the inner bonding process itself is very, very powerful for helping illness. I mean, you know, not all illness. There's, you know, some people that are you know, are just that their bodies are chronically ill. But certainly practicing inner bonding is going to help you raise your frequency and help you access that spiritual guidance. Is that helpful to you?
Yes, thank you very much. But it's just you hear so much the power of love, and if you could, you know, if we could get that feeling, that experience of that fullness of love that you were talking about, it should be able to overcome everything, shouldn't it?
Yes, that's right. But yes, if you were able to really, truly open to that power, I mean, love is the most powerful thing there is in the universe. And when you're really willing to become a person who's truly devoted to love, yes, you can do so, so much to bring about healing. So I'm going to take a question that somebody wrote in. Diane from Los Angeles says, why does it seem to be such a challenge to find true love, and how do you know that you have found it? Well, once again, unless you know what true love is within yourself and you feel filled with love, you're not going to really know what it is with another person. You know, as long as you're not learning how to love yourself and taking responsibility for your own feelings, the likelihood of finding true love with somebody else is very, very slim. And so if you really want to find true love with another person, find it first within yourself, with your spiritual guidance, taking loving care of yourself, and then you will know when you have found it. It's very easy to know when you found it with another person once you have found it with yourself. Okay, so I'm going to take another question from a caller. Somebody else want to press star 7 and ask a question? Is there anybody online that would like to ask a question? Okay, then I'm going to go on and ask another question from one that somebody wrote in. This is Summer, and she says, I've done a lot of inner work on my stuff, and I'm now confident that I will not allow myself to become involved in an unhealthy or dysfunctional partnership. However, without having an experiential point of reference on what a healthy, conscious relationship looks like, how does one go about creating that once one has found a partner that appears to be healthy and conscious without freaking out and sabotaging it? You know, what really creates a wonderful relationship is two people who are very open to learning about themselves and each other, two people who truly are devoted to learning how to take full responsibility for their own feelings and their own needs, and who truly want to be loving human beings. It's my belief that our soul is on the planet in order to evolve in love. And so when you devote yourself to learning about loving yourself and learning about loving each other, you will create that healthy, conscious relationship. But it's not going to happen if one or both people's intention is to protect against their pain, is to try and have control over getting love. You know, in the inner bonding process, there's only the two intentions. One is to learn about loving oneself and sharing love with others, and the other is to protect against pain and trying to have control over getting love. And anytime one or both people in a partnership, and it's usually both because of our common level of woundedness, anytime we're intent on trying to control getting love, we are going to create an unhappy relationship. But at any moment, since we're beings of free will, we can change our mind and move into the intention to learn about loving ourselves and sharing that love with others. Okay, is there anybody else online that would like to ask a question? You can press star 7 if you would like to ask a question. Okay, well, then I am going to go
Hello?
On. We have plenty. Yes, go ahead.
Hi. I'm trying to love myself, but I often do that through giving myself food. And then I get down on myself because I gain weight or I feel sluggish. And so I'm trying to learn how to love myself and how I show that love to myself.
Okay. So the wounded part of us likes to believe that rewarding ourselves with food is loving. But in fact, that is, you know, if you're eating food that's not good for you, if you're eating too much so that you gain weight, if you're eating, as I said, processed, packaged, sugared, whatever food, that's not actually loving. It's harmful. And what's harmful isn't loving. It's also not loving when you use food to avoid really taking responsibility for whatever the feelings are, whether there's anxiety or aloneness, or whether there's core feelings of heartache and heartbreak. Whenever we use a substance such as food to avoid a feeling, that is not being loving. That's like if a child came to you and was upset, and instead of really being there for the child, you handed him a cookie or her a cookie, that's not loving. Even though the child might like the cookie, it's still not loving because it's not really addressing the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to suggest to you that you learn and practice the inner bonding process and start to really learn to be loving, which means learn how to take responsibility for exploring your feelings, for nurturing your feelings, so that you're not using food as a way to avoid feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to
yeah.
you?
Yeah. I think maybe I just don't give myself time. You know?
You just don't want any?
What's going on, I just go, oh, I'll grab. It's not even bad food. It's good, healthy food. It's just the quantity of it.
But see, if you're eating too much for what your body needs, if you're putting on weight, then you're eating too much for what your body needs, which means that in some way you're
mm-hmm.
using food addictively.
Right. I know. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So it means that there's some feelings that
right.
you're avoiding with food.
Right.
Do you have any idea what those feelings are?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know. I guess maybe I don't take the time because maybe I think, you know, I should be doing something more valuable or you know, getting to work or you know, whatever. And I don't know how much time it takes, and I guess I just don't know how to figure out what those feelings are.
Well, you're not going to figure them out if you're not tuning in. And you're not taking the time to say, what are you feeling? And so that in itself, somebody needs to press star 6. There's a lot of noise going on. Would you please press star 6 to mute yourself? Thank you. If you're not taking the time, oh boy, there's a lot of noise. Like somebody's banging there. Somebody needs to press star 6. Okay. So if you're not taking the time to even be with your own feelings, that in itself is unloving.
Mm-hmm.
That's a form of self-abandonment. So you're not tuning into your own feelings. You're not taking the time to be with them, and then you're avoiding them with food. That's kind of a lot of self-abandonment.
I see. Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
then you're using the food to cover up the maybe the emptiness or the aloneness that's coming from you not paying attention to your own feelings. So one of the things I suggest if you really want to be dealing with this is start to practice getting inside your body and paying attention to your own feelings with a desire to learn. That's going to go a long way towards helping you with the food issue.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
then I suggest that you learn the rest of the inner bonding process, which is you can learn it online, you can learn it on the website, you can learn it through books, you can learn it through sessions, you can learn it through workshops, through 5-day intensives. We offer a lot of ways for people to learn and practice the inner bonding process.
All right.
Right. Getting inside my body, could I journal?
Yes, journaling, but you need to journal by doing it through the inner bonding process. Inner bonding is a particular way of journaling.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So get online, learn the 6 steps, and practice journaling by practicing the inner bonding process while you journal, okay?
Okay. I will try it.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. So I'm going to now take one that somebody's written in. Yvonne writes, I've recently moved to a new home to be closer to my son, who now lives with his dad since 1 year now. He's 15 and doing good in school. So it's a wise move for him, and we're still very close. I really miss a family life, and my family lives 10 hours away by car. I've connected on the internet meeting sites 1 week before I moved, and the desire to meet someone is so very strong, and at the same time, I'm so very sad. Tears flow easily. I find this hard and do the inner bonding, and at the same time, internet connections seem like a magnet. I need to calm this down and be centered with me. Can you help me, please? P.S., now that I have moved, I have a little more money, so I will join your site. Thank you for the free webinar and what you do. I appreciate it very much. So the problem is here, Yvonne, is that it sounds like you're getting kind of addicted to the connections you have on the internet. But the fact that you're sad and tears flow easily means that there's self-abandonment going on. And so before you're really going to be able to connect with other people in the way that you want, you need to be connecting with yourself. You need to take a look at the ways that you're abandoning yourself. You need to take a look at maybe ignoring your feelings, using any substances or processes like the internet, making other people responsible for you. These are the major ways, and then certainly judging ourselves. These are the major ways that we abandon ourselves. And as long as this is what you're doing, your little girl inside is not going to feel safe, not going to feel secure, and then is going to try and attach to somebody on the internet. But the sadness is letting you know that that's not loving to you. So once again, I want to suggest that you practice the inner bonding process and learn how to be loving to yourself before you go ahead and try to connect to somebody else. Okay, is there anybody online right now that would like to ask a question? You can press *7 if you'd like to ask a question. And if not, I'll go on to more questions here. Anybody else interested? Okay, so here's a question.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead. What's your name, honey?
Lauren.
Okay, Lauren, go ahead.
Something that you said before, you were saying a relationship is not necessarily going to work unless both people are willing to, learn about themselves or be open.
Right.
I find that very hard to find in a man. You know, like as women, I feel like we're all we're used to exploring our emotions or being in touch with our emotions, whereas that's not really a part of. A lot of men are not in touch with that, or they're not willing to look at that. So I think it might be difficult to find that kind of a relationship where a guy is willing to be that in touch with his emotions.
Well, certainly there aren't as many men who operate on that level. But, at my, for example, my workshops or my intensives, I usually have about a third of them are men. Sometimes even half of them are men, and many of my clients are men. So in my experience, there actually are more men than you realize, and there's many, many men on our website as members, and they're really trying hard to, be open and learn how to take responsibility for their own feelings. In my experience, the more a woman really, truly learns to take responsibility for her feelings. It's not just about talking about emotions, because women are pretty good at feeling emotions and talking about emotions. That's very different than taking responsibility for your emotions. The more a woman really, truly learns to take responsibility for her emotions, the higher her frequency goes, the more of a chance she has of attracting a man who's also doing that. I want to urge you to move beyond the mindset that says there aren't any good men, because that's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, that mindset. There are many, many wonderful men who are on the path of personal and spiritual growth, who are trying to learn also to take responsibility for themselves. And so I want to encourage you to really get what it means to take responsibility for yourself, because, and for your own feelings, because that is really the key here. So many women believe that, well, they're emotional and they're in touch with their feelings, and they think that's what it's about. But that's not what it's about. What it's about is taking responsibility for your feelings so that you really are living in happiness and peace and joy. And the happier you are, the higher your frequency, and the more likelihood you have of attracting a man who is doing the same thing. So does that make sense to you?
Oh, very much, very much. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else online here who would like to ask a question? You can press star 7 if you'd like to ask a question. Okay,
hello?
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, Margaret, I don't have a question right now, but I was wondering if, as the leader of the call, do you have a way that you can mute?
You know, maybe I'm going to try it. I do, but the last time I did it, then nobody could ask questions.
Oh, okay.
And it, okay, so I'm going to try to mute all guests.
I just noticed there was feedback on this call particularly.
Yeah, there's a lot of feedback. Okay, I'm going to try and mute, and then I'm going to unmute when it's time for questions, and I'm going to see if it's going to work. So here we go. Okay, that should mute everybody. But it didn't. Okay. Let's do it again. No, it's not working. That's the problem. That's what happened last time. That's why I decided to do it this way, because last time it didn't work. I'm going to have to talk to my people here and see why that's not working. But I would appreciate it if anybody who's not talking would press star 6 and mute themselves. I'm not able to get people muted, so I'm going to have to work on that. Okay, does anybody else have a question?
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I wanted to see, if you're trying to learn how to love yourself and you're already in a relationship with someone who's not loving to themselves, what is the possibility?
Actually, most of the time with the people that I work with, when one person is really learning to love themselves, more often than not, the relationship really, really improves. Because when you're loving yourself and you're taking responsibility for yourself, what happens is that you're taking your eyes off your partner. You're, there is so much feedback. I'm really going to have to try and work with this line next time. But could you all press star 6, please? Whoever has not muted, please press star 6. Because we've got too much feedback. Okay. So I want to encourage you that most of the time, if one person is really taking care of themselves, really taking responsibility for themselves, they take their eyes off their partner. They're no longer blaming. They no longer have these expectations. They're not pulling on their partner. They don't have their eyes on their partner. They're not criticizing. They're not sitting down to talk to their partner and try and get their partner to change. They're not doing any of that. And when one partner pulls back from that and really starts to get happy, it really has a huge positive effect most of the time on the other partner, but not necessarily right away, because the other partner may be threatened. as you start to take care of yourself, stand up for yourself, get happier, the other partner may get very, very threatened for a while, may get angry, may withdraw. But if you just keep on taking care of yourself, you will find that things generally improve. Not always, because sometimes if a relationship is very, very codependent, let's say that you're the caretaker in a relationship and you're tired of that and you don't want to take responsibility for your partner's feelings anymore, and your partner is a taker who has been making you responsible for a long time. Well, if you start taking care of yourself, and your partner is bound and determined to be in a relationship with somebody who's going to take responsibility for them, then that relationship will probably end. But as I said, with most of the people that I work with, even when it seems like it's just hanging by a thread, if one person does their work, the relationship generally greatly improves. Does that answer your question?
Yes. It's very appreciate. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anybody else on the phone that would like to ask a question? Yes, hello?
Hello, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead, Annie.
My name is Camille, and I have a question. It's kind of related to love and sexuality.
Okay.
I just feel some guilt over a sexual encounter because I feel that, like, my wounded part of me was seeking love by giving this man, like, what he desired sexually.
Uh-huh.
And I still don't know how to approach my wounded self and counsel forgiveness because it's sort of like maybe the other lady that called in and talked about feeling kind of obsessed about, like, this, you know, the fear of getting sick or her son getting sick. I wonder if
uh-huh.
in some way part of me that's kind of fighting to you know, stay in that woundedness, even though it's like, I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. You see, the wounded self likes to judge, and the wounded self likes to create guilt, because the wounded self believes that if it makes you feel bad enough, then you won't do it again.
Right.
But in fact, the worse we feel, the more likely we are to act out in ways that are not good for us.
Yes,
I want to do is encourage you to move into an intention to learn, where you're opening with deep compassion, telling yourself that you have very good reasons for the choice that you made, and that you want to explore what these reasons are. You want to explore the fears and the beliefs that led you to give yourself up sexually. There's a lot of beliefs that go along with that. Beliefs such as, well, if I give him what he wants, he's going to love me, and it's not going to hurt me to do this, and, you know, it's the only way that I'm going to ever get love. These are a lot of false beliefs. And so you want to be exploring the beliefs and where you got them, and then you want to be going, this is the inner bonding process, and you want to be opening to learning with your guidance about what is the truth. Is it really true that giving yourself up in any way, whether it's sexually or any other way, is actually going to lead to feeling loved? And, of course, the problem is that any time we give ourselves up, we are not loving ourselves. We're abandoning ourselves. And
right.
So we're always going to end up feeling badly, where no matter how, even if the other person were to love us, the fact that we've abandoned ourselves leads to feeling unloved. And so it's very important for you to let go of thinking that any kind of judgment is going to help you resolve this, and instead to move into compassion for the wounded part of you who's not only judging, but who thinks that giving yourself up is a good thing to do. Does
right.
that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I don't think it's enough time to answer any more questions. I'm delighted that so many of you, because we had over 100 people this evening here, I'm delighted that so many of you have joined the webinar. You can download it. It will be on our website by tomorrow. And you will be able to download it and hear it again if you want to, or share it with anybody else. I encourage you to go to our website, look through the articles, download the free course. We have a wonderful free course. Look in our store and try our membership site for free 7 days. You can sign up for free 7 days and see what the member site is like and all that it offers. And if you really want to be devoted to learning to love yourself and becoming truly whole and attaining emotional freedom and having loving relationships, I want to encourage you to learn and practice the inner bonding process. So I want to thank you all for joining me this evening. We will be doing another webinar. I will be doing another webinar in a month, and I hope to see you all there then. And I hope you have a wonderful evening. Good night, everybody.